HBO's Game of Thrones is back for its seventh season. Winter is finally here, and so are the White Walkers. Will the Seven Kingdoms of Westeros survive the threat from the North, or will they fall in the looming war for the Iron Throne? After you're done watching an episode, join the discussion here on the Game of Thrones After Show on Podcast One. Every week, our hosts discuss each episode in detail, from shocking twists to fan theories, as the series chronicles the violent struggle among the realm's noble families for ultimate power. Join the fray every week on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church is going on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for doing what you do. Right, Drew?
That's right. We appreciate it.
Drew Skis over here. At Skis over there. Had a, you know, I'm always surveying everything all the time.
Mm-hmm. Hypervigilant.
Hypervigilant. It's what I do. Keeps me out of trouble. I was driving home down the Grapevine last week, coming home from the races, and we were doing 90 miles an hour in the left lane or whatever. By the way, I re-listened to that fucking puss Gavin Newsom, and I was going, why don't we raise the speed limit? It's like, hey, there's a lot of danger and safety and danger. And then they do this fucking thing where it's like, hey, when it's fogging and it's dark, I don't need some guy hauling it. And it's like, wow. Yeah, well, you know, this is like old London town here, man. Yeah, it's foggy. Jesus fucking Christ, you fucking pussy. Like, I'm saying, I'm not talking about being dangerous. I'm talking about shaving an hour off of driving from the Bay Area out here because you raise the speed limits and stop raising money. But anyway.
I don't know if you fired up the DVR since you've been back from racing, but he was on your favorite show last week.
Oh, he was? Yep. Oh, he was on Bill Maher's show?
Yep.
Oh, talking shit. What was he even talking? No, he doesn't talk about anything.
He was running for governor. He wasn't talking about anything.
Right.
It was nonsense.
You guys got to re-listen to that. He sounds like an idiot the entire time I'm talking to him. But anyway. It's sociopaths, what he sounds like. But anyway, we're driving, and we're in the left lane, and some guy went right in the middle of kind of farm country. Some truck just went, like, flying past us in the right lane. And we're looking like, that truck's hauling ass, I was thinking. And then I noticed there were four people in the truck. Mm-mm. And then I noticed they were, like, Hispanic because it looked like the parents and the kids. This is all from behind. And I'd sussed out that he's driving a truck. He's got a couple of kids in the back. And he's working. He knows this area. This is his area. He's not coming home from the racetrack. See, you can tell guys with their trailers or their sports cars or whatever, like, who were at there. Yeah, I can tell where everyone's going or on vacation or they local or whatever. So this guy goes flying past us. But I do what I always do when I'm driving, which is, where are you going, buddy? Because there's a semi-truck sort of in front of him, in front, and then another one off to the right. And I was like, you're not going anywhere. He goes flying past us, and he does this move where he attempts to get over to the left, but there's a semi-truck there, and he's coming up on the one that's in front of him too fast.
Yep, I get it.
So he does this really quick move where he just flies off the off-ramp. Mm. And in a millisecond, I crunched a whole bunch of data. I don't know what I was doing, but I said to the guy who was driving, I said, watch out. This guy's getting back on. Now, I don't know why. I think anyone else would have just thought he caught his exit. He missed his exit. And he went, oh, you know, when you see people dart for the exit.
Yeah.
Like when I'm driving down the Ventura Freeway and I see someone, oh, Van Nuys, and I see him get all the way over. I don't think, oh, they'll be back on at White Oak.
Yeah.
I don't think that for a second. I think his ways just said, get off on this exit, and he's going to see his mama. Or his friend, or he's going to a car parts place. I don't know, but this guy jumped off, and I said, "He's going to be back, so keep an eye on him, or keep an eye out
for him." Yeah.
And we drove for like another 3 or 4 miles, and at some point, I saw the same pickup just go flying right onto the freeway. Now, I don't ever call that. I don't ever say anything. If somebody, you're free to get off the freeway in front of me without judgment. I won't say anything. But what I saw the guy do is the first thing I saw was in my hypervigilance and in my profiling. The first thing I did is I noted that he was a local. Now, it was the truck. How many people are in the truck? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
The age of the people.
Just I knew he was here. I knew he was one of the guys who worked the farm sort of here. That was first thing. Not a tourist. The second was when he made his quick left move to cut, he was going down the freeway. But when he got the window shut on his quick left, he went, oh, I'm getting off the freeway. And I thought, who tries to get further down the freeway and then goes, I'm getting off the freeway, like a moment later? Yeah. Like that same thought as I'm going, no, I can't. I'm getting off the freeway. As soon as he got off the freeway, I went, this is his move because he's a local. And he knows that he can get off the freeway here like you know when you're local.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're going over the Sepulveda Pass, the 405 is all backed off. You get off on Sepulveda. Yeah. You know, I'm going up Sepulveda and I'll slide back on at Wilshire, whatever it is.
Yep.
That was the move he made. And he slid off, and I just went, he's back on, so keep an eye out. And it was satisfying to be a little bit ahead of him when he slid back on, but he slid back on the exact same way he slid off in a hurry, and he was exactly who I thought he was.
Could you get a good look at him? Could you ID him on the way through past or no?
No, it would seem to be a Hispanic couple and their youngish kids in the back seat, and he's driving a pickup truck. And all I knew is they were local, they knew the area, he was in a hurry, and he was coming back onto this freeway.
The in a hurry thing, you know, when I encounter people in a hurry, as long as they don't, like, really endanger me, I is it a medical emergency, you're late to something, we should all, like, give them a nod.
Yeah,
like, wave them on. I don't care. But
I'm
people get offended and try to interfere with them. Have you seen that? It's unbelievable to me.
The interference is the insane part and the offense. As I do when I drive through my red turn arrows and people honk.
Yeah, you don't know.
What's he care?
Yeah, what do you care? He's in a hurry.
I have no idea. I was, they're doing this thing where they're saying. They're retrofitting these left turn arrow signals now.
Oh, boy.
At a great expense to the public, I'm sure. But now they have to retrofit them because they realize the idea is a flawed idea. It's a flawed idea to tell people, go ahead and turn left and alleviate traffic during this situation. But having people sitting there in the middle of the night when they could turn left and there's no traffic coming is not a well-conceived idea.
No, ridiculous.
Well, not ridiculous if you want people's money and you don't give a shit about whether they arrive or not.
You don't want their money because you're not policing it when they want, you know.
Yeah. So they've now started to – they're going to have to retrofit all these things because the idea is inherently flawed.
I got to beg ignorance. What do you mean retrofit them?
They need them to have an orange blinking thing that says go ahead.
Oh, yield yellow. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
That's what I've been saying they should have.
Yeah, but it's going to take 200 years and cost $200 billion for them to redo all the fucking ones.
No, it's not. Pasadena's had that right along.
They're not doing it. There's like one town in Camarillo that's doing it. Yeah, Pasadena is a little smarter.
Little.
Than Los Angeles.
And by the way, not only that, I think about that a lot these days. Local governments make a big difference in people's lives.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
The federal government does not do crap for you or me, ever. Right. Have they ever done anything for you?
No.
Maybe air traffic, I guess, and although they should privatize that, right?
Yeah.
And but when I look out my window, I got garbage and cops and firemen and power and water. And I mean, that's everything.
It's a busy Monday, Drew.
No, I'm just saying appreciate what my local government does. I really do. And they do it well. And you appreciate it when they do it well. You don't. You notice it, you know?
No, I agree. Yeah. All right, let me talk to Fred, and then I'll tell you about Wolf Blitzer. Hey, Fred.
Hey, guys.
What's going
on? Get it on.
What's going on?
Long time listener, first time caller. I think I started listening to you guys when I was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Dad's truck.
Thank you.
The reason I'm calling today is, so my brother just got back about 6 months ago from Teen Challenge, and he went over there because he was on like Narcos and Xanax.
Mm-hmm. What are they doing,
and
Teen Challenge?
Like a... more of a church rehab, I guess, for kids.
How old
like
is he?
Teenagers.
How old is he?
He's 20 now. He went when he was like 18, 19.
Mm-hmm.
And he got back about 6 months ago, and we caught him on him again about this earlier this week. I was suspicious 2 weeks ago But now we're like, we found the bottle.
So hang on a second. I'm a little unclear. He spent a year and a half at this program?
He spent a year there, and then he got back about 6 months ago.
All right. Was he better generally before he started?
Yeah, when he got back.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
He got back, he
was like a different person.
All right, so he derived some benefit from it, and now he slipped back. So
yeah.
I would look upon that, the way I'd conceptualize that, is that he's not had adequate treatment for the primary issue, which is the addiction. He's had some stuff for his behavior. He's had stuff around drugs. He's had stuff for his personality issues, his social issues, no doubt. Now it's time to focus on the addiction and let's get him, you know, primary treatment. That's it. It's time.
Okay. Is there anything I can do with, like, his doctor prescribing it to him? Like, tell them, you know,
he's a drug addict, and you will hold them accountable if something bad happens to him.
Okay, great. I didn't know I could do that.
Absolutely. They won't be able to say anything to you. You've got to just go call sort of anonymously and go, you'd understand, I'm the brother, maybe you'd understand this, but he is not to receive any opioids or anything addictive. He is a drug addict, and we'll hold you accountable if he has a problem.
Does any 20-year-old need any of that, anything?
No.
Yes. And this idea that you're 20, I didn't need an aspirin. I didn't think I owned an aspirin. I didn't have like a medicine.
Man, we just established
cabinet.
Two shows ago. You're a leather chew toy.
Rawhide. So yeah. Yeah. I didn't have a medicine cabinet that had anything in it when I was.
Well, you were also deprived and even if you couldn't, what would have happened if you had some chronic illness or something like diabetes or asthma? I don't know.
I'm trying to think. Maybe my mom would have liked it.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know.
She just could have spent all her time at the county.
I had an epic discussion with my mom.
Okay, before you tell me your mom, before we go to Wolf Blitzer, we're going to talk about TrueCar.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. New or used, they've sold over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from the 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers throughout the country. I just told somebody the other day they were looking to buy a used one. Just get on TrueCar. They got you covered. You find the car you want. You see the scattergram. You get the upfront pricing. You can get some other discounts. I was lecturing this friend of mine. You can get discounts you can't get anywhere else. And that's whether you're looking to buy new or used. You'll see what others paid for the car you want. You get the fair price. You lock it in. And when you lock in, you know you've locked in a price for actual inventory on that local certified dealer's lot. And you can enjoy a quick, easy buying experience, a better overall buying experience. So when you're ready to buy new or used, head on over to TrueCar. As I said, investigate the car you want, figure it out, lock in the price, and you know if the price is fair because you see the scattergram for the what's been paid in your area, and you'll lock in a price for actual inventory. Whether you're ready to buy a new car or used, go to TrueCar. Some features not available in all states.
So I was The epic conversation I had was I was in the middle of trying to get on the road, get my 935 freed up so I could race it. And blah, blah, blah. It was all over my mind. Like, I got to get the paperwork from Garrigus, and I got to get the car, and I got to get the trailer, and all this kind of stuff. And my mom came over.
This was the insurance stuff that Garrigus was
doing? Yeah. My mom came over. Garrigus was sending me emails, as my mom came over on a Saturday. And I was having to answer these information they wanted. When did you race? When did you race last? What's your license and stuff?
You want to play a video of you trying to dictate an email?
It's me calling Mike August and trying to dictate to Mike August to answer Garrigus on a Saturday.
Okay.
Just play the second one. Don't play the first one. I had
Saturday.
Sonny.
Oh, that's that Mike's house?
That's what Mike, that sounds like.
10-lap sessions, approximately. Yeah. 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes on the track each session. Session. Right.
Sonny's filming.
This is the only event I plan on doing in this car.
baby monitor sitting
here? All right.
This is not a baby monitor.
All right. That's what I'm attempting. I'm attempting to dictate to Mike August while his kid is just
having a fit.
But always, it's always the dogs. Okay, he doesn't even notice it. Mike, I can't hear you, what you're saying. So I walked in the next room, and I said, sorry, I'm late. Like, I'm trying to take care of this thing. I'm trying to get this car. It's expensive. I'm trying to race it. And my mom does this weird thing. I only started noticing it lately, which is she doesn't ask a lot of questions and stuff. But I didn't notice she goes into a dormant, like a weird kind of dormant phase. Like, she looks down. She gets a little bit smaller, and she kind of does what you do when you see a mama bear on a trail. Like, just slowly, just walk backwards. Just don't say anything. Nothing alarming. Just it'll go away. If you barely move and you don't do anything sudden or verbalize or anything, you can pass. Don't say anything.
Dissociation, kind of, right?
It's a dissociation, but it's kind of a weird thing because right at the point when anyone else would engage, you know, when you go, I'm doing this thing, it sounds a crazy thing. The other person, the normal person would say, what kind of car? How much is it worth? Or where are you, what are you planning on doing with it? Or how come this is the first I've heard of this? Or what is this thing? You know, like right when everyone, it only happens when normal people would engage.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a disengagement. Yeah, it's weird. It's a sort of a, it's like, the posture's like a, it's sort of like a priest is yelling at you, and you're just going to kind of take your lumps. Like, this is sort of, you clasp your fingers, and you just sort of look down. But you don't look at the ground. You just sort of stare at your knees.
Well, what do you
kind
think
of
triggered move. It? I don't get what triggers it.
What triggers it is anything that could be considered stimulating. I don't mean that in a pejorative way. Like, anything that would stimulate some movement, you know, anything that has some energy or movement, or
so you. What did you say? To
or
her?
Some
what,
passion, or some
yeah,
whatever.
What did you say?
I came back into the room. They were supposed to come at noon, and Gergis shot me an email at 3:00 saying, "I need all of this information ASAP.
Yeah.
I need your history. I need when you've done it. I need if you've had incidents. I need." And of course, so you have to brag about, well, I've done this, and I've done that. It's not going to be a two-word email. I need your license. I need your date of birth. I need all this info. I realized I couldn't do all that info. I had to call Mike August and dictate into his crib. So,
and by crib, you mean baby crib.
Because I don't like Gergis working for free on weekends, and I knew he was sitting at his computer, didn't want to do a thing where I got back to him 2 hours later. He's going back with someone in New York.
Yeah.
So I walked into the next room, and I said, I got this thing. Just give me 10 minutes. I'll have some champagne. Give me 10 minutes. I'll be right back. And then I went and I dictated everything to Mike and everything else.
Yeah.
And then when I walked in the room, I wasn't planning on getting into it, but it was so fresh in my mind, and it was also, I need an excuse. I said, sorry, I was right in the middle of this thing.
You start explaining it.
That I'm doing. Yeah, I'm trying to get this car, and it's an expensive car, and I only really own half of it, and I want to race it, and they want to let me race it, so I got to send an email, and it was just right in the middle of everything. And I could see my mom going into this, what she always does, which is this phase of like, I'll let it pass, and I won't nod or say like, well, there you go. Like, I won't give a, you know, some people might give a condescending, you know, hey, that's cute. Okay, good for you. You know, it's sort
anything,
of like nonsense. No, she doesn't. She sort of waits till it's done. And it'll be silent. Like, if you can keep talking, but she won't engage. And then you can move on. And when you move on, then you can move on. As long as you move on to nothing, it'll be fine. That's when the hot muffin talk comes in. Like, you start talking about bran muffins, she'll jump back in.
Dude.
It's really weird. And the biggest problem is you want to never talk to that person ever again because they have two modes, which is stuff you're interested in, which is no fly zone, and then and then bran muffin talk, which we can do all day. Except for you don't want to talk about that. You want to talk about what you're doing or what's going on. And so it's just weird. It's really weird. But the thing that was comical about it is, my stepdad volunteered that they bought her a scooter.
Like a Vespa kind of thing? Or the
okay. Is Gary there to make fun of?
Got it. I know what you mean.
Is he here to make fun of Drew?
Yeah, he just walked out.
Yeah, you mean the scooter.
Tell him he loves to make fun of Drew. Right. 2 mile an hour lark to get around the Whole Foods in.
Yes.
That, like, we did 20 minutes on how it folds and how he's building ramps to get it in the back of the Volvo wagon and how it has the older NiCad battery, not the nickel cadmium one, and how long it takes to charge and how far it can get on a charge.
We know what that is with him, though. He's like Asperger's. And
he has to talk about something else.
Mechanical stuff, yeah.
Well, we had a 935 that won Le Mans. Mechanical talk to talk about.
That involved driving, though. That part he couldn't engage in.
He's a car guy.
He's a car guy?
Yeah, my stepdad's a car guy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's where it gets super comical.
That's crazy.
We decided not to talk about the 935 that Newman won Le Mans in, and we decided to talk about a $69 Lark that they bought secondhand from somebody who'd been deceased, someone whose parents. Mother had bought it, died, and then they bought it. And then we got into exquisite detail about how we could load it into the back of the Volvo and if he was going to buy ramps or he could build ramps. That's what we did. I think she's got him trained. She's trained him completely on what he can talk about, what he can't talk about. So I think he's trained. So when he sees, here's 935 at Laguna Seca, that's a no-fly zone for her. Right. And he can't violate her airspace by talking about it. Yeah. If he were normal, then he'd be like, 935, I remember that car. And then we'd get all into it. But he can't do that. So there's got to be a weird pause. And then we can get into the Lark. The scooter. We did 20 minutes on a scooter after that. Now, it's fine because it's her scooter and it's about her. And it doesn't really, it's not me and I'm not animated about it. And it doesn't involve me and I can't. Right. There's nothing. There's no potential downside. There's no baggage. There's no investment. Right. And it's a zero. It's another. Yeah. We can talk about zero.
It's like if the dogs bark or something, does she shrink into this stuff too? I mean, any, you know what I mean?
It has to involve something you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has to knock on the door of what you would call intimacy.
Yeah.
Here's something you're genuinely passionate about, and you're going to describe, and that is way too personal.
Right.
It's too personal.
Anything autonomous and spontaneous about you can't be tolerated.
We have conversations that are like,
I get it.
John, what is the bakery? It's not Benish. Oh, where is it? Fairfax? Oh, no, Melrose, but off, no. Well, the address is on, is the address on Fairfax or is it on, it's on Melrose. I'm never going there for a Danish mom. Never, ever, ever. But we'll talk and we'll talk and we'll talk. And it's specifically because I'll never go there and it has nothing to do with anything. That's why we talk about other people's stuff always. Never. I think it's too intimate or I don't know what it is, but it's the weirdest non-familial thing on the planet. It's like we sit around and talk about other people's families.
I've had some of that in my family of origin too, and part of it was if you say something of an emotional nature in the context of other spontaneous things about yourself, whoa, forget it. Can't tolerate it.
Well, what it is you could go, I'm doing this thing that I'm interested in. And then you could get in some dangerous territory where you said, it makes me so happy when this happens, or it makes me so sad when that happens.
Or reminds me of when I lost.
Blah, blah, blah. Or I got angry when I crashed. Yeah. And now we're getting real dangerous territory because you're expressing emotion.
Yeah, nuh-uh.
And we're not going to have
that. It's a no-go.
But as long as we talk about the bakery that's off of Venice, well, what could I possibly say about that? Other than I really love brunch.
Did you say love? No. I hope you just like it. Is it you like it?
Yeah. So we can't. So, or the scooter, there's not much we can talk about. Just sort of tactical stuff, like how long it takes to charge.
Yeah.
It's an interesting approach
to life. Yeah, I get it. Listen, I think that's something that we were subjective to that the more recent generations have not been subjected. They've been subjected to other stuff. Different. So what's up with the Wolf Blitzer? I'm anxious to hear this Wolf Blitzer thing. We have time for it?
Wolf Blitzer. Yeah. Let's see.
Take a call and then we'll get into it on Monday show.
Now it's the weekend. That's too far off. Let's see. Let's do it now. If it wasn't Monday.
Or do LifeLock while they're setting it up.
All right. Do LifeLock while they're setting it up.
Yeah.
Update your smartphone operating system now. A security researcher found a bug in a Wi-Fi chip making billions of phones vulnerable to hackers. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds, people, in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. Thieves could sell you, sell your information. Oh, that's it. Yeah, you'd be a thief if you bought their information. Mm-hmm. They sell your information. They get it. They sell it onto the dark web, or they get an online payday loan in your name. Let's not let that happen. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock, they're the best. I have them. Lynette has them. The kids have them. If you're live, you need LifeLock.
Join now and get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Adam15 to save 15% off your first year. Offer ends August 27th. Terms apply. 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code Adam15.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe Gary's right. I got to get into it. We'll get into this on Monday.
Okay. All right.
I'll get it. Because now I'm looking at it, and the guy he's corresponding with is the chief security officer.
No. Chief National Security Correspondent.
The correspondent.
It's who CNN goes to.
Yeah, yeah. I misspoke, but I didn't mean it differently, which is you are going to this guy for information.
Oh, well, Monday! Do not miss Monday's show. The reason I suggest this, I didn't think we could get through it in 7 minutes. I think this is going to be a majority of a whole
show.
We'll
open that.
You're right. All right.
We'll take a call.
Tune in. Tune in Monday. All right. Live shows, Chicago, Minneapolis, Nashville. Go ahead and check that out. We got the hats and the mugs and the merch, but we got the buck slips for the winners, man.
That's right.
And you go to Chassis with two S's and a Y and check out King of the Underdogs, a new movie we have with Sylvester Stallone and Martin Scorsese and more, man. What do you got, Drew?
Go to Dr.com. Also, we've been doing some Facebook Live podcasts. Do you see any of those? No? Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. With me and Catherwood, me and Bob Forrest, some good guests coming up. And do check it out, Dr.com. We have also a YouTube channel. And sign up for the Facebook /Dr. Drew. Appreciate it.
So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.